Talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. You're with Hervoye Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We've made it to hour two. Don't forget to buy some TNT Radio merchandise and send a donation if you're so inclined to TNT Radio. Keep us alive. I don't think I mentioned this. This is interesting. In the UK, Satanism and devil worship is on the rise. According to census data, the most surprising findings of 2021 census include the rapid rise of Satanism. The number of people in England and Wales identifying as Satanists saw a whopping 167% increase between 2011 and 2021. The researchers found that within that 10-year period, the number of Satanists rose from 1,893 to 5,054. And it says the reason for the rise of Satanism remains unclear. However, it does correlate with separate data, which clearly indicated that a reverence for the devil was on the rise. So, wow. Interesting. The Trilateral Commission, I think most people should know about that. Brzezinski was a member. Patrick Wood of Technocracy talks a lot about it. So you got the Bilderberg Group, and trilaterals were created in 1973 by Rockefeller. The commission, and it was to bring together the North America, Europe, and Japan. It was one of those organizations to bring about world government. They convened recently in Tokyo, and for their first in-person meeting in 3 years, they discussed China, India, and the new global order. I think it was the first time they actually allowed press to attend, and it's interesting. They talk about the U.S.-China competition, decoupling, and the problem, in the view of many, is America. Samuel Huntington's injunction against an excess democracy. So they're complaining about an excess of democracy. And so isn't that interesting? So that thinking that's been with the trilaterals for the longest time, it says that many of the members still have that embedded in their minds. And they also talk about China calling for an international order, how it's ironic that they're calling for an order closer to the original concept, standing for a so-called global community with a shared destiny for mankind, although nevertheless, few countries believe that multilateralism advocated by China has universal values. So I thought that was interesting. And they've also found Jack Ma. Did we forget about Jack Ma? He, you know, the Chinese Bill Gates or whatever you want to call him has been living in central Tokyo for almost 6 months amid Beijing's continuing crackdown on the country's tech sector and its most powerful businessmen. His absence from China has coincided with the escalation of Xi Jinping's zero COVID controls. He's been spotted in countries like Spain and the Netherlands. And it says spending less time in his home in China means the billionaire has avoided the tough COVID-1984 quarantines. And so he's still alive. So that's that is interesting. What else? There are two news stories that are fascinating. And I interviewed French intellectual Thierry Meyssan on my podcast some while back, and Guy Maton, Swiss intellectual as well. Both were having the same idea that Ukraine is about deindustrializing Europe, maybe even destroying the EU, reshoring industry to the US. And you've got Macron slamming US subsidies as super aggressive towards French companies. And he went on, it says European leaders have complained about the Inflation Reduction Act signed by Biden that offers massive subsidies for US made products, which they say unfairly disadvantages non-American companies and would be a serious blow to their economies as Europe deals with the fallout from Russia's February invasion of Ukraine. So you've got that example. And Eurointelligence.com reports how German industrialists that the president of the German Federation of Industry is saying that more than a fifth of German medium-sized companies they polled were considering packing up and leaving the country. We cannot recall ever seeing such a figure, they say. The main reason he cites are high energy costs. So it really is becoming clear the Washington's game plan. And you know, the CIA did create the EU. It's a globalist U.S. imperial project, the EU. So I guess, you know, they can do what they want with it, right? And it seems like they're winding it down. So that is and reshoring, I guess, to the U.S. in this coming big showdown battle with China. So EU, you know, it I guess is that time again for the European battleground, the world wars. And I guess, you know, just again, it's going to be eviscerated, the Euro zone. That's most of the most interesting news. And Americans are losing trust in the military. The rise of woke politics has undermined public confidence in the brass. All right. And a reminder again, for a complete list of shows and the schedules offered on TNT Radio, just go to tntradio.live. We've always got new shows coming on online. And so you want to check that out. And we serve up the latest news, current affairs presented by incredible expert commentators separating truth from fiction right here on TNT Radio.
Trusted coverage you can count on. They are a reliable source. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Transhumanist billionaire, international playboy. Morrissey, that's a line from a song by Morrissey. I was just watching an interview with Morrissey today. I think I saw him perform a couple decades back live in Chicago, I think. But anyways, international billionaire playboy Elon Musk says his brain chip company Neuralink is almost ready to start putting brain implants into human patients. Now, please try to contain your excitement as we've all been so anxiously anticipating this moment, but the wait is finally over. Musk says the chips, which need to be drilled, oh boy, into a person's skull and would initially be used to treat traumatic brain injuries, are coming soon. Here to tell us exactly how soon and more, joining me again is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
Thanks, Rory. The short answer is far sooner than you and I would like. Well, actually, it's worse than that. It's sooner than that. Okay, so here we go. As reported by Breitbart, despite the fact that an overwhelming majority of Americans think slapping a computer chip inside the human brain is a terrible idea for society, Bloomberg reports that Neuralink, Elon Musk's brain-computer interface firm, said at a Wednesday evening event at its headquarters that it plans to begin putting its coin-sized computing brain implant into human patients in 6 months.
What?
Yep. Musk said that Neuralink's device, which has been refined over the past years, would be implanted into people using a robot that carves out a piece of their skull and attaches the device to their brain. Discussions with the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, mean that the company can plant... Wait, hold on a second. I'm not sure there's a misspelling there, but they can begin its first human trials within the next 6 months, supposedly, according to talks with the FDA is the end result here, what they're going for. It says, in addition to working on the brain-computer interface, Mr. Musk, revealed that this company, Neuralink, has and is working on spinal implants that might one day restore mobility to people with paralysis. He also revealed that his firm is working on an ocular implant to restore human vision, or at least improve it. Despite the continued hype from Musk, recent reports show that Neuralink is a company in chaos, and it refers the readers back to an article and some interesting things that were happening back in February before Elon was so popular as a CEO at Twitter. Apparently, he was a terrible CEO of Neuralink. That's comforting. Musk said during this event, quote, as miraculous as all this may sound, we are confident that it is possible to restore full body functionality to someone who has a severed spinal cord, end quote. That's a mighty big claim, Mr. Musk. He claims that an individual who suffers from, oh boy, ALS, I'll just use the abbreviation, or a stroke may soon be able to communicate via their brain using a brain-computer interface, BCI. The Neuralink device would be able to detect neuronal activity and turn it into data that would be interpreted by a computer. Musk believes that the device could one day become mainstream and allow humans and computers to communicate with each other. Because who among us hasn't thought, gee, it'd be nice to strike up a conversation with my laptop. Here's what was going on and why I have a problem with this for a number of reasons. Back in February, first of all, Neuralink was accused by an animal rights group of subjecting test monkeys to illegal mistreatment and causing extreme suffering. So I encourage the listeners to do a little research into that. So please keep all of that in mind as he's pushing this forward, folks. Now, let's see. Musk thinks, obviously he's been a long proponent of the idea that humans must be enhanced in order to match the development of artificial intelligence. Now, I find that really interesting because some people forget one of the things about Elon Musk is he is, well, I'm sure you know this, Rory, of course, among all people that are listening right now, he's a transhumanist. I'm not sure if you remember, but just at the beginning of this week, interestingly enough, this is why I'm like finding all of this so fascinating, the timing of this, he posted like this mysterious picture on Twitter that everybody kind of, you know, it seemed a little like, what's up with this? Liberals got upset because it seemed to involve some guns on his bedside table. I'm not sure if you remember this, but it had like some empty Diet Coke cans and it had like a bottle of water there and a replica of Washington's flintlock pistol. And then this other thing, which happens to be a replica of a Diamondback 357 revolver from a video game called Deuce X Human Revolution. And this series of games is actually all involving like interfacing with computers and transhumanism and all of this crazy stuff. So here he is tweeting this at the beginning of the week. And now here he's wrapping up the week talking about, hey, guess what? We got the chips coming in 6 months. Do you think this is just a branding strategy, Hervory? Marketing ploy?
It feels like the Matrix, literally, like we're on that road to everyone being plugged in, you know, into their heads to the Borg. You will be assimilated. It's just sugar coated, right? It's a bitter pill, and it's like the Tic Tacs I used to hand out. I'd have in my office when I was a teacher. I had booby traps and pranks. I had electric shock staplers and exploding pens and electric shock pens and I had Tic Tacs that were there for, you know, anyone who would walk in, and then you'd put in the Tic Tac, and after like 30 seconds or a minute, it's got garlic. It's got a garlic, a profound, a deep garlic flavor, and everyone's spitting them out. And so that's what I feel like this is. And I think in one of your notes you mentioned, everything's a false flag. It's all like Trojan horse, and you've got the Everything X app, Neuralink. I'm going to admit, I just purchased the Starlink, though. I just bought a Starlink. I'm waiting for it to arrive so I can have mobile internet and do TNT radio from the beach in Mexico. But if you look at all of his projects, it's like all coming together. The autonomous EVs, the WeChat Everything app, the Neuralink, the global mobile satellite internet. It's like, he's the guy bringing together the algorithm ghetto. He's just got a smile and he's funny. And I guess, you know, he's good looking or whatever. That's like how the devil would come in. And he's literally dressing like the devil. I mean, the devil is not going to be some horned beast. I think that's intentional propaganda from the films, from the devil himself. It's like, he's going to come in as this person you with charisma that you want to hang out with. So, yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I'm always hesitant and skeptical about celebrities and politicians who are saying all the right things and everybody seems to like him. Luckily, Elon, not everybody likes this guy. In fact, a vast majority of the population seems to hate him. But something could change in the near future. Maybe, just maybe, the folks who are upset about the way he's been treating Twitter might be very happy with this next thing, the electrodes implanted into your brain, which, you know, God forbid, I hope not. You know, I'll just let the listeners in on a little secret what happened to some of these monkeys. Here's one. They found that one test monkey was missing many of its fingers and toes, quote, possibly from self-mutilation or some other unspecified trauma. Okay, I'm sure that's fine. Oh, wait, look at this other one. He immediately, after having the electrodes implanted, began vomiting, retching, and gasping. Days later, they noted the animal appeared to collapse from exhaustion and fatigue and was then killed. A later autopsy showed that the monkey suffered from a brain hemorrhage. So, you know, personally, I'm not going to be lining up to be taking this chip like soon, later. No, never. So have at it, everybody. This is also you can communicate with your phone and surf the internet faster or access social media that you all hate anyways. None of this makes any sense to me. And I think he has a nefarious plan. And there's one other company he owns that I don't even know how that's going to come into play. And that, of course, is SpaceX. I'll let the listeners think what that might mean on their own.
Cue the X-Files. And yeah, I've got a love-hate relationship with these surveillance devices. I hate them. I mean, so I'll get a few guests who will give me their, say, phone numbers. And then they're like, what's up, me? And I'm like, I don't use what's up. You know, I'm more of a desktop person where I can stay disassociated. You know, go to the desktop, work there. And then that's it. I don't want to be connected to these things, you know. So, all right, Ruckus, I hope you don't have nightmares of Elon Musk tonight. But talk to you tomorrow, and we'll be right back after this break.
Jesse Zerwell on TNT Radio.
What we've seen over the past 2.5 years now, almost 3 years, is a multi-pronged global campaign to recalibrate or remake the international monetary and financial system, and to usher in a global technocracy in order to create and sustain this remade or recalibrated international monetary and financial system.
What we've seen over the last 2.5, 3 years is an acceleration of that process, and I think that process can be traced back quite a long way. That's always been on the cards, that eventually the international rules-based system, seeing as that's what our Western politicians like to call it, that has got a finite lifespan because it's based on a debt-based monetary system. Inevitably, it's got a finite lifespan, and I think that was always the people that are behind that, the institutions that are behind planning how global development is going to roll forward, have always been aware of that and have always been planning for this moment and for this period in our history.
Jesse Zerwell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
TNT.
Alexa, explain BIDEN.
BIDEN is president.
Oh, very good. And now, explain BIDET.
BIDET is your butt washer.
Okay, so they're pretty much the same.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. We'll just take a look-see at some news. There's never a shortage of things going on, such as wormholes being created inside a quantum computer. We had a that teleported a message from one side to the other, and this could help scientists observe the theorized passages in real space. So for the first time ever, the first ever wormhole, a theoretical passage that creates shortcuts in space-time has been created inside a quantum computer in a breakthrough that could lead to the first observation of one in space. While this tunnel is not through actual space, scientists made it by simulating two black holes in the system, one on each side, and used it to teleport messages. The holographic wormhole will be the first time scientists can analyze how the passage would work, since the idea was proposed nearly a century ago, 100 years ago. So that's interesting. I don't really think that we'll get teleportation technology, but they're working on it. The elites want to get to their Elysium, escape planet Earth, because they think something bad is coming. So they're happy to leave us all behind. I don't think we'll get there, but Haiti, the U.S. continues considering coup in Haiti as Haiti unravels. U.S. officials push to send in armed foreign force. Some Biden officials are pressing for a multinational force, but they don't want to send U.S. troops and haven't been able to persuade other countries to take the lead. I talked about this a while back with my guest, Eve Engler, Montreal activist. Follow what he's doing. He's hilarious. He keeps going to the Canadian, to the meetings and press briefings and of Canadian officials and heckling them. I think he recently and always getting thrown out. And so that's hilarious to see him doing that. But not much has changed since I spoke with Eve. The U.S. doesn't want to go in because the Haitians hate the Americans and the Canadians, and no other countries, they can sense that. No one wants to go in. I think rightfully so. So, this, of course, is New York Times talks about the assassination of Haiti's president, which set off a new wave of terror. But it's the CIA, the U.S. took out the president. We had that article from April, the Miami Herald, which discussed people on the ground alluding to, I think it was even a DEA official talking about the CIA probably took out Haiti's president. And so, yeah, no one wants to touch the situation now. No one wants to sleep in the bed that they've made, as the saying goes. It talks about high levels of Haitian migrants being intercepted by U.S. Coast Guard. They've increased more than fourfold since last year. So it's a really bad situation in Haiti, thanks to the empire, right? Thanks to decades, if not centuries, of empire. And the Haitians also, I mean, they don't even like the UN. Even in this New York Times article, it says UN peacekeepers were last stationed in Haiti over a decade ago. They brought cholera to the countries with one of the worst outbreaks in modern times. The UN killed 10,000 Haitians. It says nearly 10,000 Haitians died, and respect for the UN was forever destroyed, said Ban Ki-moon. I like to cite Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, as he calls it, the UA, the United Abominations. So I still have right behind me my UN, my official UN, I guess, what would you call it, access card. For 6 months, I was a staff assistant to the Czech missions. Was it the Czech mission to the UN? They held the EU presidency from January of 2009 to June of 2009. And so I was able to have access to the UN Geneva and WHO sessions. And so I've been in the belly of the beast and not a fan of United Nations World Government. Sorry. United Abominations. And one more story that was interesting. We had Rosneft leader Igor Sechin paying homage to the Chinese president and welcoming Beijing to invest in the Northern Sea Route and Arctic Project Vostok Oil. So Eurasia continues to integrate and it's moving towards the Arctic. And, you know, there's a lot of resources there. They're building more icebreakers, building more transit pathways that will cut time for trade. And so China's getting its foot there in the door. And Sechin says, it appears that the Chinese People's Republic works for the unification of mankind while the West seeks its division. He added that the state leaders of Russia and China have concurring views on processes ongoing in the world. And yeah, the dragon bear is coming together. We'll be right back after this news break.
Okay, everybody, listen up.
Big news.
Big news.
Real big news.
Here we go.
Now, TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. The EU's Internal Market Commissioner has ordered Elon Musk to abandon Twitter's free speech plans or risk seeing the platform banned from operating within the EU. The German government has announced plans to boost the number of migrants arriving in the country in the hopes of bolstering its aging workforce. French gun owners are surrendering their weapons in record numbers as the Macron government offers an amnesty to limit the distribution of unlicensed firearms.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
All right. I'm joined by, I believe, Tim O'Shea?
Timothy Shea.
Oh, sorry, Timothy Shea. I listened to your nice to meet you because we're virtual colleagues here on TNT.
Yes, nice to meet you, Havoria.
And I listen to your show often because that's when I have my late lunch, and so I'm listening to your 2 hours. You got 2 hours right before my program, and so I very much enjoy what you do. So,
well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And you work with the MAGA Institute, right? As it's called. And I guess we can just shoot the breeze. I mean, regarding what's happening in the U.S., I'm frequently talking about it. I'm originally from Illinois, Chicago, and I just somehow ended up in Mexico. I've been here for a decade, became a Mexican, and I expatriated. But what's sort of your thought of where we are? As a nation, the U.S. I mean, there's people talking about, you know, second civil war. That's always on my mind. Collapse of empire. But there is a resiliency to the United States that just it's very resilient. No,
you know, there really is. I have a friend who's married to a Dutch native, a natural born Dutchman. He's from the Netherlands. He's an American citizen now, and he became a citizen because of our relentless optimism, as he put it. We really are an optimistic people. I think we have got a lot of reason to be. This nation has been blessed. And lately, we focused an awful lot on what's going wrong. And it's always good to monitor and to correct things that are going wrong. But when you focus on it to the exclusion of to everything that is wonderful and a true blessing, I think you kind of lose your way as a nation, and that's a little bit where we are. But, Havoria, I'm old enough to remember the 1960s and early, you know, it's funny. We call the quote-unquote 60s. If you go into any college in America and you into a fraternity house and you look at the composite photo they have of the brothers from each year, right? So you look at 1961, 62, 63, 64, 65. They're all clean-cut guys, shorter hair, 65, it started to get a little longer, but still clean cut by today's standards. It was 66 when they the long hair came in, the beards. And what I consider the 60s was really 1966 to about 1975 when we pulled out of Vietnam. Because then the late 70s was the disco era and cocaine and all the craziness. But really what people think of culturally as the 60s was about 1966 to 1975. You had Kent State, the massacre of Kent State when the National Guard troops opened fire on students. You had, of course, all the riots in 1968 after Bobby Kennedy was killed, Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. And it seemed like the end of the world then, right? I remember my grandmother, my parents being very anxious. What's coming, what's becoming of this country? And as bad as things were then, they really weren't any worse than the summer of love we had here 2 years ago with the Antifa fascist and the racist BLM riots. So I think things go in cycles. I don't think things are as bad today as people might think they are. They're never as good as people might think they are, right? I mean, there's always things we can work on as a society, as a nation. But I think you're right. I think the resilience is there. And I think I still have optimism that America's best days are ahead of it.
Yeah, just like yourself. I mean, I talk to a lot of fascinating people and, you know, I've been a declinist in the sense like, I'm not wanting America to decline. I don't like the imperial aspect. I love the Republic, the Constitution and all of that. But I've talked to folks like cultural historian Morris Berman and Johann Galtung, the founder of Peace, Conflict and Peace Studies. He's in his 90s. He actually predicted in 1970 that the Soviet Union would collapse in, oh, sorry, 1980. And he made that prediction that it would collapse in 1990, and it did. He's kind of known for that. And he's been saying by 2025, the U.S. empire will collapse. He says he loves the Republic, but he hates the empire. And I've been a declinist in that sense, just sort of like observing this trend. You know, so I left 2006. I expatriated from the U.S. and I just saw it becoming more authoritarian. And, you know, just looking back this April, I mean, I was reading the report from Senator Josh Hawley yesterday, going after the DHS and Mayorkas. And he's got the documents now showing that with the Disinformation Governance Board. I mean, it's clear to me now, I was banned from PayPal in April. The DHS told PayPal to ban me and other people. I'll, you know, what do? I just have a podcast. I talk online. And that's enough for me now to be classified by the DHS as a threat. And, you know, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, it's just like, this also is kind of freaky, you know, it's really starting to freak me out.
Well, I actually agree with you on the, both on the empire, the imperial nature, and also on the, you know, the empire ending. And also I agree with you on the authoritarianism. Right. I would love to see the Department of Homeland Security dissolved and the functions returned back to the agencies from which they were originally taken. And it's not because I don't want us to have a secure homeland. It's that I see the abuses. I want to see the Patriot Act undone. Now, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right. I think there are a lot of key anti-terrorism provisions. We need to have CIA talking to FBI, talking to military intelligence, talking to NSA, so we don't have a repeat of what happened in 9/11. But, you know, as we've learned, people who sacrifice liberty for safety deserve neither. And I think we've gone a little too far. I think that the executive branch particularly is far too powerful. I want to see Congress stand up and retake some of its authority, some of its power. I've got a lot of friends from Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, and I agree with them that, you know, we always haven't always been the best big brother, the best neighbor. We've used Central and South America. CIA has used Central and South America pretty much as its playground. I mean, installing regimes here and there and everywhere and running drugs from there to fund our covert wars. And yeah, I think we need to do away with all of that.
Yeah, most definitely. And I mean, there are so many things going on, but on the other side, a lot of people that I talk to, they come from prominent positions, wealth, millionaires or people well-known in their field. I mean, people freaking out about the Great Reset. I don't know how often, I think you focus more on domestic issues from when I listen to your show. I don't hear you talk too much about some of these sorts of things, but it's like this darkness that we haven't seen in centuries in human history, the Klaus Schwab stuff. And, I had on a guest, a well-known Catholic guest this week, Mark Mallet, and he says it's the final confrontation, and he's citing a pope from decades ago talking about, good versus evil, Christ and the Antichrist. And then sometimes it feels like that, we're locked in our homes, we can't travel, any thoughts on, these technocratic aspects that are global?
Well, it does indeed. I haven't really talked much about the Great Reset. You're correct, but that's because, quite frankly, I'm just getting going with this show. I think I'm in my second month, and I don't want to expose people to all the darkness all at once. I think it's a real problem. I think transhumanism is the real trans crisis that we're facing. The gaslighting, this psyop that they're running on young children, it's a crime against humanity, this whole transsexual thing. But I think the real threat is transhumanism. These people, it leapt off the page at me, Havorje, when I saw diversity, equity, inclusion for the first time. And I'm Catholic, and I saw DEI, DEI, which is God. I mean, it's a false religion they're building up, just like climate change is a false religion. There's no climate change. I mean, there is, but it's not caused by humans to the extent that they're saying. We had more greenhouse gases released into the atmosphere from the Mount Pinatubo explosion eruption in 1991 than in all industrial output of the entire planet since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. So, it's all... I use the equation profit plus power equals control. I mean, that's what everything comes back to. We're really seeing fascism now with the government working with high tech, working with big pharma, working with these woke corporations. It's the literal definition of fascism is government control of private industry. Things government can't do, it does through proxies and private industry. I think Mayorkas has to go. He's got to resign or be impeached. But more than that, I'd like to see some real structural changes. And yeah, the Great Reset, you'll 19 or 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. Nuh-uh. And that's where the resilience comes in, right? I think we'll push back against all that.
I sure do hope so. I'm trying to get back to the US, and it's crazy because my wife's Mexican, she's not a U.S. citizen. I don't want her to be because of for a number of reasons. But we can't as a family travel back still because she has to be injected with the Pentagon juice, as I'm calling it now, the DARPA gene therapy. And as you say, on the Great Reset.
Well, just go across the border illegally. You don't have to take it if you come
right
across illegally.
Yeah. I've been making that joke, and she just kind of looks at me, gives me this stare.
Well, but a friend of mine, and I'm going to use a slur here, but I'm doing it humorously. A friend of mine calls himself a wetback. He's of a French Canadian extraction. He said, "But my people swam across the St. Lawrence, not across the Rio Grande." And I said, I would be better off if I went north, swam across the St. Lawrence River, got out, walked back across the bridge, and said, "Hi, I'm here. Hook me up." You know, you you do much better as an illegal alien in this country, it seems, than as a citizen. I mean, you're case in point. You can't even bring your wife over here. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. And I think there is a method to the madness. I think it's intentional. I think maybe they want to keep
100%.
They want to keep out educated foreigners, and they want to bring out people who are bring in people illegally and then get them, as you said, on that welfare dole. And I think you talk more about this for votes in the future, using them for votes and just, I think, to try to bring down the U.S. through the welfare state, through siphoning off. I mean, we see them throwing all that money to the Ukraine that's just going to the defense contractors and Ukrainian oligarchs.
Or back to Democrat campaigns through FTX.
American oligarchs. Yeah, to American.
Yeah.
Oligarchs. And so, yeah, that's part of that. We're going to jump to our break. You can check out Timothy's website, MAGAInstitute.com, and his show is right before mine every day, from 5 to 7 p.m. New York time. We'll be right back on TNT.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
The phony climate war is going to be causing actual misery. It's already started to cause misery, of course. Just take a look at your pocketbook. I'm not just talking in the United States. I'm talking everywhere. But now that winter is coming, the same early winter that we've been talking about for over 3 months. So when the climate alarmists and phony climate warriors start blaming climate change for it, they say, well, wait a minute. What did that Neanderthal know nothing, the climate denying guy, Joe Bastardi, how did he know this a few months ago? Is it that special? But here is the problem, folks. The problem is you are not going to win this phony climate war with this tit-for-tat stuff. In 2 or 3 weeks, this is going to probably be big news across the globe. And of course, they'll say one thing and we'll say another thing. The way to do it is to get way out in front of it and set the trap for them, so when it comes, you could say, you didn't know it, you weren't paying attention. This is meteorologist and TNT climate and weather watchdog, Joe Bastardi, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
You have the right to know. The right to know about culture. The right to know about the economy. The right to know about technology and to know about sports. You have the right to know about education and politics and the weather. You have the right to know what's happening abroad and in your backyard. But above all else, you have the right to know that this right is under attack, and we must work to protect it. Because in order to be free, we must be informed. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
TNTRadio.live.
Online.
Streaming.
Be a part of the conversation.
I stream it all at work, and I stream it to my phone and listen to it wherever I go.
TNT.
And we're back on our final stretch with Tim Shea of the MAGAInstitute.com. And don't forget, he's got a show right before mine for 2 hours from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern New York. That would be 4 to 6 p.m. Central time where I am at. And I was just thinking the other day, it'd be cool. I see out, I think it's in Arizona where we have a Joseph Arthur, the musician. I think he lives somewhere around Arizona. And Patrick Henningsen, I think he's somewhere around there as well. And Ruckus, and they all get, and Hesher as well, Brian McLean, they have get-togethers. It'd be cool, one day if we had a TNT radio get-together, but we're all sort of stretched in different parts of the world, no?
Yeah, Joseph did a FaceTime with me last time he and Hesher and Ruckus were together smoking cigars. And it's like, oh, next time I'll, because I also am involved with deploymentcigars.com. What we do is when you buy cigars from us, we send cigars to deployed military and also to first responders. So I said, yeah, next time we do it, guys, I can bring the cigars.
That's funny. And I'm kicking myself. Next week in Phoenix, there's going to be a great conference. I don't think we're going to make it, but Patrick Wood and James Lindsay and others are going to be talking about a lot of this woke Great Reset stuff. I think it's December 8th in Phoenix, only 3 hours flight, a straight flight from where I am. So who knows? Maybe I'll end up going. But Ukraine, what about, you know, your thoughts on the Ukraine war? You were talking about the Dems and FTX. You know, what's your take on Ukraine?
Putin's not a good guy, but he's not the bad guy here. We are, right? We ran a color revolution in Ukraine in 2014. We replaced the democratically elected president with one of our puppets. Victoria Nuland is not a good person. It's an embarrassment as an American that she's overseas, you know, running American foreign policy. She's back there now, right? They replaced Poroshenko in 2014 and installed a puppet. And there she is back at it again. You know, Zelensky is as much the leader of Ukraine as Joe Biden is the leader of the United States. They're both puppets. Come on. Nobody thinks that Pudding Cup Joe is running the country. And the reason I call him Pudding Cup Joe, because the only thing he's focused on all day long is getting that pudding cup. And if he's a good boy on Fridays, he gets a fruit cup with two cherries.
It's I mean, speaking of Biden, I don't know if you've been hearing the news today with this Kanye West interview and on Alex Jones. You know, I grew up listening to Alex Jones and InfoWars, and it expanded my mind in many ways. And earlier, he used to have many interviews with high-level guests, and he's stopped doing that for many years. But, you know, Kanye supposedly running for president, and they had recently, him and this Nick Fuentes had lunch or dinner with President Trump, and it didn't go well.
Yeah.
Right. And today, Kanye just had a complete and total meltdown, saying he loves Hitler, he loves the Nazis, the Holocaust didn't happen, and all just this crazy stuff. And I don't, this guy running for president, I'm sorry, no, that's not going to happen. But and then there's people promoting this feud between Ron DeSantis and Trump. And so I think there's a lot of calculated strategic stuff going on where it's a war, right? There are elites trying to, you know, divide and conquer. And what sort of your take on the 2024 elections? Do you think Trump will be back, or do you think he'll have to compete with DeSantis, or what are your thoughts?
I think Trump will be back. My people in Florida are telling me that Ron won't run because he wants to be sure that Casey is past her cancer. He doesn't want to involve her in a campaign for president in 24. And I think that's good. I know a man who has known Ron all his life. There's my friend's son was a Little League and high school baseball teammate of Ron's. They went to the Little League World Series together and played all through high school. So my friend knows him quite well and serves on a couple of his boards. I like Ron. I think he's done a great job for Florida. He hasn't done as great a job for Florida as he wants people to think he has. He was at CPAC in 2021 when they had to move it to Orlando because Maryland wouldn't allow it up in D.C. And he's on stage proclaiming Florida's open for business, no mask mandates, no vax mandates, and not 40 feet from him, Havorier, there was masked Nazis patrolling the hallways, right? Because, no, the state of Florida wasn't imposing any mask mandates, but Ron didn't stop the counties and municipalities from doing that. I was down in Florida for 3 months in 2021, and it was no different down there than it is up here in Central New York. In fact, in a lot of ways, I live out in the country, so I was... I had a much better time here than I did down in Florida. So anyway, people think, you know, New York's a hellhole, and so, well, they don't understand that our state is quite diverse geographically, politically, economically. You know, there are parts that are where I live. I live in horse country. It's very rural, and but 20 miles away is a decent sized city, Syracuse. And of course, everybody thinks of New York City when they think of New York, right? So he did a good job in Florida. I tried to get word to him to sign an order prohibiting counties and municipalities from requiring masks, from requiring jabs. And, he finally did it in December of 2021. But I was out there in January of 2021 saying, you got to do this. And he didn't. A lot of people are concerned about his Harvard and Yale background. He went to Yale College and then Harvard Law School. They're concerned about that. I don't think he's a Mitt Romney. I don't think he's just talking a good game to get elected and then really is just going to be a wishy-washy flip-flopper. But at the same time, I don't think he's what America needs in 2024. I've said it on my show. I think what we really need is a pissed-off Donald Trump that knows he only has 4 years to get it done. He has 4 years to finish the job. It's amazing what he accomplished the first time. Despite Russiagate, despite Filegate, despite impeachment 1.0, impeachment 2.0, despite the Mueller charade, they came at him 400 miles an hour, and he still not only kept every campaign promise, but a lot of promises he didn't make, like the Abraham Accords. He had a lot of people around him that were backstabbers. I always joke that I've never been stabbed in the back by a Democrat, right? But I'm like a porcupine with all the knives I've taken from Republicans. These Republicans are just weak, Voyer. There's no fighting them. They'd rather lose and have the Democrats in power so that they don't have to be responsible for governing. They don't have to be responsible for implementing an agenda, and they can fundraise off their faux outrage. They can rail and get sound bites on Fox News, and they can say that they're going to hold hearings. Well, big deal. What's a hearing? Eric Holder was held in contempt of Congress. What penalty did he ever suffer? Right? Unless you have an attorney general that's actually going to prosecute the crimes when you get a criminal referral from Congress, nothing Congress does in this regard is going to matter. You know, Kevin McCarthy now is talking tough. Oh, there's going to be a new sheriff in town in January. So what? Biden administration's going to laugh at them. Nothing will get done. So I really think that what we need good Republicans, solid America First Republicans. We need the Freedom Caucus guys running the show in 24. And we need a pissed off Donald Trump to go in like a wrecking ball and fundamentally reorganize our government. The executive branch, get rid of DHS, clean out FBI and DOJ from all the corrupt lifers there, the career bureaucrats that think they run the country, clean them all out. And at the same time, give them back, give the FBI the authority back to monitor terrorism transactions. I don't know. That's just the way I see it.
And yeah, that's another point that makes me frustrated. The fair weather Republicans, as you say, I always wonder what I would do if I were in that position. I think I'm just crazy enough, having studied history and taught students, I believe that, you know, JFK, his brother, Martin Luther King were executed by the deep state, and they were doing things that a true American patriot should do against all odds, you know, to fight the corruption, to fight the military industrial complex, to fight all of these things. And I feel like I'd be that crazy person that I'd be, yeah, okay, kill me. I'm not going to back down, just, you know, whatever. And I like Rand Paul. Recently, the Ron Paul Institute, it wasn't Ron personally, but the Ron Paul Institute gave me an endorsement for my Geopolitics and Empire podcast. They said it's where it's the real underground, where the real intellectual revolution is taking place. So I thought that was really cool from the Ron Paul Institute. And I like Rand Paul. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene seems to be doing some good stuff. Who are some of the non-fair weather Republicans that you like?
Well, at MAGA Institute, what we do is we get people to realize primary day is the important election day. And so we had Marjorie Taylor Greene was one of our inaugural class candidates in 2020. Paul Gosar in Arizona, Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. We had Lauren Boebert in Colorado. We had a lot of great candidates. I think there's a growing number of candidates that are going to be strong. Voyer, I want to thank you so much for having me on tonight. It's been a pleasure.
I want to thank you for jumping on as well, chatting for the first time. I've met Joseph Arthur. I've been on his show. You've been on mine. Talked to Brian. So
Yeah, you'll have to come on The Reckoning.
Yeah, you do a great job, though. I can't believe, like, you often talk like a monologue for quite a long time. And I can't do it like you do it. I mean, it's, you know, kudos kudos to you.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, you do great work. And so, again, thank you, Tim. I'm signing off. Don't forget MAGAInstitute.com. Timothy. Timothy Shea, you're on 5 to 7 p.m. New York every day right before my program. So, all right, everyone, just keep on rocking in the not-so-free world here on TNT Radio.